Jesus set us free. Amen. Praise the Lord. We thank God for that. Let's lift our hands and thank Him for that. Father, we thank You in the name of Jesus for Your goodness. Thank You, Father God, that You're moving mightily in the midst of Your people in this earth today. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that You are here with us this day, not only because we're believers, but because faith is in the camp. And that, Father God, we come with faith, believing and expecting for things to happen. And we know that You respond to faith. And we thank You for that right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank You now tonight for doing mighty things in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, shake hands with somebody again and you can be seated. Praise the Lord. For those of you that are watching online, we welcome you here tonight. To Sunday evening service at Rhema Bible Church. We thank you for being a part of the service, and we trust that you'll be able to receive the good word of God tonight. Praise the Lord. I think we still need three approved workers for children to help with the children. So if you're an approved worker, if you could make your way to the children's area, that would be a great blessing. So we want to just let you know that and remind you of that. Tonight I'm going to start something that I know I won't be able to finish, but we'll see how far we get, and then we'll see what we have to do after that. But you can find your place in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the title of my message tonight will be pretty apparent pretty quick here. As we read this verse, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says this: "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder," everybody say rewarder, "of those who diligently seek Him." And so as I was reading that verse at one point in my studies, this was the question that rose up in my spirit. God is a giver. Are you a receiver? Say it with me. God is a giver. Are you a receiver? Look at your neighbor and tell them that. God is a giver. Are you a receiver? And so that's what we're going to examine tonight. I don't know that we're going to get through the entirety of all of that. But I do want to begin tonight. And the one thing that I want to impress upon you tonight is that God is a giver. I see that I've got the right crowd, but I didn't get much response on that. So we were going to teach on that, and so that way we have great faith in the house after we get done teaching, because hearing the word brings forth faith. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
And so we want to look at that. But you see, it says here in this verse right here, without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is. So we must, first of all, believe that God is actually in existence. And for most of us, that's not a problem. But actually, when it really comes down to it, we have to believe that God is who we need Him to be.
Yes, sir.
Now, that's a different question. Do you believe that God is who you need Him to be? If you need healing, do you believe He's the healer? If you need provision, do you believe He's the provider? If you need salvation, do you believe He's the Savior? You see, you have to believe that God is who you need Him to be. And so we have to recognize that people, it met people, darken the doors of a church that don't believe that. They believe that God is, but they don't believe He's anything that they need. They're not sure that God's even concerned with them. And so we want to encourage you to believe that God is who He says He is in the Word, and understand that He is who you need Him to be when you have a need.
My God.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
And so we have to encourage people to do that. And so if that is all, though, if that would be all that we believe, is that God is who we need Him to be and that He exists, I'm afraid that there are a lot of people that are going to go away empty-handed. It is a good foundation. And we certainly do need to get that step, take that step. But you see, if that's all you believe, then we come away empty-handed. Because, you see, you also have to believe something else, and that is this, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And that is that he is a giver. He is a rewarder or a giver to those who diligently seek him. And so there's this idea, people sometimes get offended. Religious people get offended. Well, you can't just expect God to be at your beck and call and to answer your prayers just because you have a need. But the truth of the matter is God is more ready to give than we are to ask him. And that's the truth. God longs to have his children ask him for things that he can do for them. And so we need to realize, because you see, God is a giver. It is his nature to give. It is his part of his nature is to give. He gave his only begotten son so that we might be saved. Isn't that right? And so he's the original giver. He's the biggest giver. And so giving is an idea that he came up with, and he's indicated that giving is a way that even we ourselves will be fulfilled, because it is the way into the harvest that he spoke of that we should be able to have. Isn't that right? So many people believe that God has what they need, but they're not convinced that God will give it to them. And that's where we have to really get down to it and press in and say, God would give to me. Because he's a giver, and he would give to, if he's going to give, he'd give to me just as soon he would to anybody else. Isn't that right? See, sometimes the devil come along and say, "Well, yeah, he will give to people who have lots of faith and people who are spiritual and people who've had great experiences in God, but you know, I just don't qualify." But you see, God is not looking to give based on great experiences or because you've reached a certain spiritual maturity level. God is willing to give to you because you express faith in him and believe that he's going to do what his word says. So we have to realize then that faith is of absolute necessity. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Glory to God. Look at your neighbor and say, "Faith, you need some faith." Praise the Lord. And so sometimes people develop over a period of time in their Christian walk. I've seen it many times. I've seen it even in my own life, where I've had to come to grips with this. Where at first everything is just—it comes like you wouldn't believe. Every time you turn around, God's doing something. And then after a while, you'll kind of wonder, "Where's God at?" Anybody ever been there? And so here's the deal. You have to realize that God wants you to develop some faith.
Yes,
but you see, instead, some people get this idea that God is testing them just to see how long they can endure, and just trying to hold out until the moment before you break, he'll give it to you. But you see, really, that's not what the Bible says, because you see, God is not dangling a carrot, so to speak, in front of you, so just out of your reach, and every time you reach for it, he moves it. God's not that way. But you see, sometimes people get this idea because they don't receive quite as easily as they did at one time. Well, and they come up with ideas, man-made ideas, reasonings, and ideas as to why God wouldn't give, be a giver. And so we have to realize then that we have to search the scriptures until we have a foundation that God wants us to give. That's the first thing you got to do, is decide whatever the Bible says about that is what I'm going to go with. I'm not going to go with what my traditions say. I'm not going to go with what so-and-so said. I'm not going to go with the latest things that are being advocated on television as shortcuts. I'm just simply going to go with what the Bible says. Isn't that right? That's our foundation. And you got to go on that if you're going to do that. I want to give you a number of scriptures now that will help you. I think they will bless you just to hear them. And so, first of all, Psalms 37 and 4 tells us this: "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." So that's Psalms 37:4. He will give you the desires of your heart. Psalms 84:11 says this, "For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory." So he gives us grace and glory. And then he says this, "No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly." And I know some certain persons, it's always in a crowd at this size, we at least have one person. That's just a problem. He gives it to those who walk uprightly. You wouldn't believe what I did this week. Well, my friend, let me just tell you this. Put it under the blood of Jesus. Ask God to forgive you, and you'll be able to stand uprightly before the Lord. Amen? Because the blood makes you worthy. Hallelujah. So I want you to be encouraged in this. Psalms 85 and 12 says this, "Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase." Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Matthew 7:11, "If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" How much more? Whatever picture we have or whatever example we've had, whatever experience we've had with earthly fathers cannot compare with the goodness that God, our Heavenly Father, wants to show to us and give to us. And so there is this challenge to get past our earthly ideas of what a father could do. Because you see, many times we form our opinions of our Heavenly Father based on what we've experienced with our earthly fathers. And friends, sometimes that really can just cause you to miss out. My dad was a good dad, but there was just some things he didn't know. And so there were some things then that he didn't do the way he could have because he just didn't know. But see, God doesn't have that problem. He knows. He knows how to do it. And so I want to encourage you with that. Acts chapter 17 and verse 25. Acts 17:25 says, Nor is he, God, worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. Say all things. Man, I'll tell you, that includes a lot, doesn't it? He's a giver of all things. Romans 8:32 is one of my particularly... I like this verse because it's an all-inclusive verse. It says, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" He gave us his son, and because he gave his son, we know this, that he's willing to give us the rest of what he has. Isn't that right? Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now, get this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and verse 12 says, "Now we have received." We have received. Say, "We have received."
We have received.
We're not trying to get. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit is who is from God, that we might know. Now, listen to this. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us of God. We have been given the Holy Spirit, and he will show us, make known to us, the things that are freely given to us, that God wants to give to us. You ever have this little nudge or something that's like you wake up and say, it would be okay for me to have that. It would be okay. God wants to give me this. God wants me to have this. Wow, this is a little more than I thought. But you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit has to wake us up to the reality or to the level that God really wants us to move in. Isn't that right?
Amen.
1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. I like this one. "Command those who are rich." And I want to stop here and say this. Most people, when they read that, check out. Oh, I know some rich people. And they think this is for those rich people they know. But I want you to know something tonight. If you've got money in your pocket and you got a home, you're a rich person.
Come on now.
Rich is a relative term, you know, to where you live. So you have to realize then that you are rich in the light of most people in this world. You're a rich person. So I want us to realize that you probably fit into this verse right here. If you got food in your house, you're a rich person by some people's terms.
Come on now.
Okay? So rich is a relative term.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so let's read it this way, but let's put ourselves in here. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy.
Amen. Thank you.
See, there's good to be in that verse, isn't it? I said it's good to be in that verse, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
I might have to get Brother Bill here to get the better amen here soon.
Come on now.
Hallelujah. So sometimes people tell me, have told me, that, you know, I just wonder if God gets tired of me asking all the time. And the fact is, he doesn't. The good news is, he doesn't.
Praise God.
He doesn't get tired of us asking and coming to him again and again and again. You've just finished asking for one thing, something else pops up, and you say, it's me again. We need something else. How many of you have ever had asked for something, and about the time you turned around, something happened to it, and you had to ask him for the same thing again? Do you think he gets tired of that? No, because you see, there's verses that tell us that he doesn't get tired of that, and so we'll look at that just for a few moments. Because you see, God does not get mad at us and get upset with us for asking. He doesn't say, what do you think I am, made of money or something like that? That's not his response.
Bless the Lord.
You know, what do you think I got? Gold? All the gold in the world? You think all the gold in the world belongs to me? Well, I think maybe it does. The Bible says it does. But you see, now here, some people, I've met people that just say, well, you know, I just don't want to ask God too much, you know, for too much. You know, I don't want to put a burden on him.
Yeah, right.
Well, you're going to have to work a little harder than that.
Come on now.
You understand what I mean by that?
Sure.
You're going to have to realize that I don't think your biggest request is going to bankrupt God.
Amen. Praise God.
Come on.
Woo. Now, I'm going to give you a thought. Everything that's ever been created, that's visible, that we can see. You think about everything. I mean, you just stretch your mind to encompass everything that exists in this planet. Everything. And then you expand it a little bit and start thinking of the planets and the stars and the moon and the sun and the galaxies and the Milky Way and all of that. And you just try to think of all of it you can. And the Lord one day explained it to me this way. He said, all that has ever been created hadn't even made one little dent in my resources.
Woo! Praise God!
I don't think you're going to bankrupt God.
Uh-uh.
I don't think your big request is going to catch God by surprise or cause difficulties in heaven.
Praise Jesus. Praise God.
You see, some people need to realize They hesitate to ask God for it. They kind of get into this mode. Well, whatever God wants, he knows best. But you see, James chapter 4, verse 2 tells us this, that said, if you have not because you do not ask. You do need to ask. Isn't that right? So we need to realize that. James chapter 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally. Liberally. Everybody say liberally.
Liberally.
That means that's the one time that I think that I like the word liberal. But
come on now.
Come on now.
I said.
That's all right. Come on now.
I said.
But anyway, he said he gives liberally and without reproach. What does that mean? Well, let's say it this way. Without censure, without scolding you, without blaming you, without condemning you, without chiding or reproaching or berating you, he doesn't chew you out for asking. He doesn't even say it. He doesn't look at you and say, just how many times are you going to come today? You know, he doesn't ask you, when are you going to get your act together so that you don't have to ask? He's not going to ask that because, you see, he never upbraids. He never chides. He never He never berates us. He never reproaches us. So we have to realize that somebody may have given somebody something, and I've heard of things like this happening where somebody is blessed by somebody else, and they say, "Oh no, that's not that. You know, really, I don't really need all of that." And the other person says, "Oh, but I want to bless you. I want to bless you." And so now here's the interesting thing: the other person ends up defining enough for that one person. I just want you to realize this, that actually, if you let God have His way, He'd like to define enough for you.
Praise God. Woo.
Amen. I'll let that soak in. He would like to define enough for you. Why don't you let Him have that privilege? I know that sometimes we think too small, but you see, here's the reason. I'm not just telling you this so that you can just have everything and have your own toy store. I'm saying this because you see, God has big plans. There's a big world that needs to be won for Christ. And there's a lot of things that need to get done. Amen. And it's going to get done with people who have lots of things.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen.
Resources, yes, sir, that they receive from God that they turn and use it for the kingdom of God.
Yes, sir.
And so that's really where we're going. And that's really why we need to be big thinkers. Look at your neighbor and say, "I knew you needed to do something." You need to be a big thinker.
Amen.
You need to be a big believer.
Amen.
Ask God for big things.
Yes, sir.
So God gives liberally to His children when you ask Him for something. He willingly gives you what you ask for. And here's the thing. If God ever gave it to you once, He'll give it to you again.
Hallelujah.
If God ever gave it to you once, He'll give it to you again.
Woo!
I like the way one preacher says it. He says, if God never did it, He'll do it today. And if God ever did it anywhere, He'll do it right here. And if God ever does it to anybody, He'd do it for us. You see what I'm saying? You got to understand that. So you see, really, we need to get out of the begging mode and get into faith in God, believing that He will do what His Word says. Quit coming to God and say, "God, I just wish." We need to get out of wishing and get into believing.
Amen.
There's a vast difference there. And we need to get into a place. You see, why am I talking to you like this? Because you see, I know what it's like not to receive from God. I went through a period of time where I didn't know. I in the church that I was raised in, if there was the prayers were all read out of a book. Nobody prayed out of their heart. Just read them out of a book. I never saw one prayer answered in the church that I grew up in. I didn't know God answered prayer. I spent the first 20 years of my life with that picture of God. God doesn't care. God doesn't answer prayer. God doesn't, you know, because I never saw it. And if you did say, stood up and said, "God will answer prayer," you know, it was always in such general, a vague, nebulous, cloudy terms that nobody could ever really define why in the world God would answer a prayer. It was just a mystery. But you have to realize that God is looking for someone who will believe His Word and believe that He's a giver.
I said,
say it with me. God is a giver.
God is a giver.
Amen.
Amen.
So let's look at it just a little bit more. Why would God be so willing to give to His children? The answer is found in His nature. He is a good God. He is a good Heavenly Father. And I might add, that does not sufficiently describe Him.
Come on now, I said.
You see what I'm saying? And so we need to realize that. James 1:17 says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation nor shadow of turning. Every good gift, every perfect gift. He wants that to be yours. He wants you to be that way. And so that's why you have to settle the question inside of you that God is a giver, that when you ask, he would be willing to give. Do you believe that? You see, God is El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. He is not, as some person said, El Cheapo.
Come on now.
God can afford it, if that's the question. Can we afford it? Is it in the budget? Do we have the resources for it? Yes. He does. Norman Vincent Peale said this, there seems to be an invisible reservoir of abundance in the universe that can be tapped into by obeying certain spiritual laws. And that law, of course, the laws of faith get involved in that and so forth. And so all that's ever been created, you see, we need to realize God's got plenty. God is not struggling to keep the earth going, contrary to reports that are out there. God is not has not seen the need to call a heavenly tribunal and sit around discussing how we can save the earth. I know I just went off the grid of political correctness. But I guarantee you, God's not worried about that. He's put plenty of resources in there. Now, let me. Oral Roberts said it this way: God is a good God. Remember this? God is a good God, and he's got something good for you. And I believe Christianity owes a debt to him for bringing that to the forefront when that idea was not popular or well known within the church world. And so God has probably, let's say it this way, God has more than you think he does.
Yes, sir.
Actually, the Bible says it this way in Haggai chapter 1 and verse 8. I'll go there. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 8. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. He just laid claim to all of it. It's all mine. It's all mine. What you got in your... What silver and gold that you got in your vault, really, God says it's mine. What's in Fort Knox? He's allowing the U.S. to take care of it for him. You have to understand, you got to get this picture. It's all his. It all belongs to his. So you have to realize that. Somebody told me the story of a person who was serving God, best he knew how, got into a financial predicament, and was praying and asking God how to handle that. And God told him to go stand down in front of the post office. So he said, okay. He didn't see how that was going to help, but he went down there and stood in front of the post office, standing there just praying, and didn't know what to do, but he obeying God. And while he was standing there, some car pulled up and guy got out, and it was somebody that he had not seen in many, many years. Had actually, I believe if I got the story correct, gone to school with them. And so they got renewed and reacquainted and so forth. And so the guy that was got out of the car looked at the man, the believer who was, that the Lord had told him to be down at the post office, and said, What do you do? And the believer, without hesitating, drew himself to full stature and said, I'm serving the Most High God.
Yes, sir.
And the other man got a funny look on his face, and he said, just a minute. And he went back to his car and got a check and wrote it out for $500 and came back and said, I want to give this to the work of the Lord.
Praise God.
I want to give this to you. I'll tell you the truth about it. I've had people, I was in a hotel one time attending a convention, minding my own business, and walking down the hallway. Somebody hollered at me and looked at me, and somebody was there, a man there. And I said, yes? And I was kind of evaluating, you know, which way to go in case I didn't know what he wanted. And he said, "Are you a preacher?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Just a minute." He said, "I'll be right back." And he came back with a check, handed me a check. He said, "I'm a truck driver. I need to pay my tithes somewhere." I'm telling you, God can bring you what you need. He can bring you what you need. Psalms 50 and verse 10, "Every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. My dad has a neighbor that cattle get out all the time. His fences aren't good, so they have to chase it out of their crops and everything. And, you know, so sometime I try to remind dad, you know, really probably not his cattle anyway. It's probably the Lord's. You know, and probably I'm sure my dad would, if I told him that, I've thought about telling him that, but I knew that I'd probably stir something up, you know, because my dad would probably say, "Well, the Lord would have better fences." But you understand. So we need to realize that there is plenty of wealth even here on earth. It's closer than heaven. I saw a documentary about the earth and all that's in it, a recent documentary, and said that the ocean floor is the last frontier that's being explored as far as this planet, and they're finding it's full of riches and wealth that man has never found. Amazing. In the book, The Millionaire Next Door, the authors point out, it was written in 1996, so it's several years old, but they pointed out in 1996 that there was $22 trillion in American households. $22 trillion. I'm telling you, the things that God wants to bring to you are closer than you think. Or Robert said it in his book, The Miracle of Seed Faith, "There is no shortage of God's resources, friend, none whatsoever. There's only a shortage of faith and in our understanding of the goodness of God." Well, that's a tremendous statement. Amen? Now you can stand up. I'm gonna quit. Time's run out, and I have got through a little bit of what I prepared tonight. But I want to end by a story of a wealthy couple that I heard who couldn't have children for many years, but God had prospered them and so forth, and they went to different places to see if they could, you know, help them have children, and they finally did have a child, and a little girl, and they were glad about that, and they rejoiced that they had a child and everything. And so one day, after the little girl was a couple of years old, the daddy was seen holding the girl up and saying to the little girl, "I can't wait for you to grow up so I can show you my world." Very wealthy man. And he said, "Look what I've got for you." God's like that. He said, "I long for people to believe, trust in him, learn how to receive. Because," he said, "I'd like to show you the world I've got." God's a good God. Say it with me. God is a giver. And I am a receiver. God is a giver. And I am a receiver. Now let's say it together. And let's say it like we mean it. God is a giver. I am a receiver. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, now for encouraging hearts tonight. Holy Spirit, I thank you that I trust that I got the one thing across that you wanted to get done tonight, and that is to let people know that you're a giver. As we go through this holiday and face this holiday and there are needs, people have needs. I thank you that we can come confidently, lift our hands to you and lift our eyes to you and lift our focus to you and say, "God, I understand that you're a giver. And I'm just believing that you'll give just like you said in your word. Thank you now. I'm asking you. for the things that I need. Whatever it is you need right now, take a moment. Come to God based on the Word and say, based on your Word, I know you're willing to give. So based on the Word, I'm asking for. And then you fill in the blank there. And you ask Him for what you need right now. And now, let's just thank Him right now. Thank you, Father. Let's do it this way together. Thank you, Father, that I am receiving because you're giving. You said in your Word that if I ask, I shall receive. So I'm believing because I've asked, I shall receive. Thank you for it now. In Jesus' name. Amen. You said it can't be that simple. It is if you stay in faith, believing that God is a giver and that you are a receiver. Look at your neighbor and say, I knew that you're something about you. You're a receiver. That's what you are. You're a receiver. That's what you are. Tell somebody else, you're a receiver. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. And now, these people up here have come up here because they're ready to pray for you. And if you have needs, if you have something that you need to, they're not counselors and don't have time for a spiritual guidance session, but they do have time to pray with you. And that's what they're up here for, is to pray with you according to what the Bible says. And so after we dismiss, you want to make your way up and there are ladies over here and the men over here and pray. And so we thank God for them. How many of you are glad for people that are capable of praying? And you know, how many of you have ever needed somebody to just come alongside of you and agree with you in prayer and say, hey, I need your faith added to mine, and I know we're going to make some contact in heaven. Glory to God. Amen. And so that's what they're here for tonight. Stand to your feet, and why don't you shake hands with somebody one more time and just tell them, God is a giver, I'm a receiver, and you're dismissed. God bless you.